painting sold. Did you hear about this? Last month, November 15th, a painting sold. Let me tell you about the background story of this painting. The painting is called Salvator Mundi, Savior of the World, and it was bought at a home estate sale in 2005 in New Orleans. They were cleaning out this house, the estate, and somebody bought the painting for $10,000. And it's a picture of Jesus. And when they bought the painting, what they thought was that it was a replica copy of a painting that was lost by Leonardo da Vinci. But the person that bought the painting decided to kind of have it restored a little bit, so he sent it to one of these places that restores paintings, and they started looking at it, and they started taking off the dirt and the grime, and they started to realize this isn't a knockoff of the lost Da Vinci painting. It is the lost Da Vinci painting. We have a picture of it here. It's called Salvator Mundi, and if you notice, it looks very much like Mona Lisa, which is also a Da Vinci painting, but that's not what keyed the people into it being a Da Vinci painting. As they started to remove the layers of dirt and look at it, the techniques that were exclusive to Da Vinci were there, and so they were absolutely able to confirm by consensus vote that this was an actual lost painting of Leonardo da Vinci. It went to auction last month. Did you guys hear about this auction? $450 million for a painting. It's the most ever paid at auction for a painting ever. It went to a private collection by an Arab, of all people. But it went to It's almost unfathomable how much money that is, and that someone would pay that much for a painting. I mean, if you really look at it, what is it worth really, right? It's just some canvas and some paint and a frame. I mean, you can go down to the local art store and buy all the supplies for about $150, and yet it's sold for $450 million. We're continuing our Advent sermon series, and each week we're adding another thing to the manger. And today, or to the nativity scene, today we're adding a manger. But we're also looking at the kingdom of God. When Jesus came, he was the King of Kings. We just sang it in our hymn this morning. He's the King of Kings, and he brought with him a kingdom. And so during Advent, actually through this following church year, we're going to look at kingdom things. And one of the things that I want to talk to you about today is how the value of stuff is different in the kingdom of God than it is in the kingdom of the earth. The value of things in the kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of the earth. And to do that, I want to go to our gospel reading from John, because John the Baptist is out there baptizing in the River Jordan, and this crew is sent out, and they say, "Well, who are you? Are you a prophet? Are you Elijah? Who are you?" And John the Baptist says, "I'm not important at all." Now, John the Baptist was pretty important. As a matter of fact, Jesus said he's the most important prophet that ever lived. And people at his time flocked to him. They wanted to be baptized by him. He was a pretty important deal at the time of Jesus. And John the Baptist says, "You may think I'm important, but I'm not. The one that comes after me is so important, has so much value, that I can't even bend down and tie his shoes." Now that's value. That is value in the kingdom of God beyond just the value of what you would think. And it's strange because Jesus was just a simple carpenter, right? He grew up in a poor carpenter's family, some backwater town outside of Jerusalem. He didn't have a lot of money. He didn't have a lot of fame. He didn't have a lot of prestige. He certainly didn't have a lot of things that we would consider to be important. And yet, John the Baptist said he was the most important, so important that he couldn't even bend down and tie his shoes. So we're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to talk about the value. Because when Jesus came and he brought the kingdom of God with him, he said several different things. The first thing that he said was that every life has value. Every life has value. In our Old Testament reading, Jesus goes into the temple and he pulls out this scroll and he reads from Isaiah 61 and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I'm bringing good news to the poor. I'm releasing the prisoners from prison and the captives I'm releasing. I'm bringing good news." And then he sat down and he said, "Today this has been fulfilled in your presence." Jesus saw himself fulfilling the prophecy from Isaiah 61. And so the prophecy says is that everybody has value. Because in almost every time of history, if you are poor or you're in prison, you have no value. Matter of fact, it's amazing you even made it to prison, because in some societies, if you've done something wrong, go to prison, they just get rid of you. They kill you. But what Jesus is preaching about is a continuity of a thought from the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, you had value because the Spirit of God lived inside of you. You had value because you had been made into a covenantal relationship with the Creator of the universe, and that gave you value. And so when Jesus came into the earth and preached the good news, he wasn't preaching something new. He was preaching a continuity of something that had been a part of Judeo-Christian history all throughout time, which is that every life has value. Now, I must tell you that this is something that we take for granted. But we shouldn't. We take it for granted because we are very much a Christian nation. We are very much from the Christian tradition. But if you go to other places of other times, if you are poor or a prisoner or somebody against the government, you have zero value. If you're of the wrong gender, you have zero value. If you don't have enough money or an education or belong to the right class, you have zero value. And that is basically what has been the way that the earth operates since the beginning of time. Well, not the beginning of time, since the fall of man. Let me put it that way. That we put classes of value on people, and we value the higher class people, and we don't value the lower class people. Do you know that when British and English, actually I should say not the English settlers, the European settlers started going and conquering different nations, they would allow the existing native religion to actually exist unless they were doing human sacrifices. If they were doing human sacrifices, then they would basically annihilate and get rid of that religion. And that's why we don't have the Mayans and the Aztecs and the Incas anymore, because they were conquered by Europe because they did human sacrifices. Because Europe, Christianity, believes that all life has value. But that is not what you get when you go into the rest of the world. When you go into the rest of the world, if you cannot produce, if you are not of the right social structure, then you have no value whatsoever. Jesus knew that all life had value. And this isn't a new thing that he preached. This was something that was a continuity from what he had been taught from God. Now, the content was that all life has value. But in God's kingdom, the value that you have in the kingdom of God is different than the value you have of the world. The value that you have in the kingdom is different than the value that you have in the world. I mean, have you ever thought about how value is assigned? I mean, like I said, this painting, it's probably maybe $150 worth of materials, and yet it sells for $450 million. Why is that? Why can't we recreate that painting and sell it for $450 million? It's because there's two parts to the value. The first part is the materials and the time to make it, and the second part of the value is that value that we ascribe to that particular object. There's two aspects. And Jesus understood this, and we understand it too. I mean, let's say you're going to buy an automobile, okay? You want to go out and you want to buy the best automobile you possibly can. Well, there's the value of the automobile itself, right, which is all the parts and the labor to put the automobile together. And then, believe it or not, there are certain automobiles out there that they've spent a lot of money marketing saying this is a more valuable automobile. And so people pay a higher price for it. Now, which would you pay a higher price for? Would you want a Jaguar or would you want a Ford Fiesta? And you, I was like, man, I want the Jaguar, right? That would be the most awesome thing. Do you know that the amount of labor and materials that goes into a Jaguar is not entirely different from that that goes in the Fiesta? Certainly not worth the value that we place on the vehicle. And yet, we will pay a higher price because we have a perceived value in that object. We have a perceived value that this is worth more than this is, and so we'll pay a higher price. And Jesus saw this. Jesus said, wait a minute. The value that the world assigns to something is not necessarily the value that God assigns to something. God sees all life as beautiful and worth value. And so when he came on this earth, who did he spend his time with? He spent his time with the poor and the homeless and the weak and the people that the world had forgotten. But Jesus saw into their heart and he said, you have value. And why is it that you have value? Because I say that you have value. Because the kingdom of God lives in you. And if you live in the kingdom of God, you have value. If God lives in you, you have value. We know this. It's so hard to get through our brains sometimes, but we know this. You know, they've been experiencing wildfires in California. And apparently they're pretty bad. Now, if you were going to lose your home, what would you go back and get? I know the first thing you do is you want to get all your pets and your animals and any humans that are in the home. But let's say you get all that out of there, and now you've got a home filled with stuff that you've accumulated over all this time. What would be the things that you would pull out of there? I know what I would pull out. The pictures. The things that my grandmother gave me. Things that probably the world would look like and they'd say, that's dumb. You pulled that out? Yeah, but that's very special to me. Of course it's special to you because the things that value in the kingdom of God are different than the things of the earth. Jesus said, lay up your treasures in heaven where moth can and rust cannot destroy. And what are those treasures? Those are the things, the relationships, the love, the joy, the things that make you who you are that you cannot buy and put a price tag on. Those are the values, those are the valuable things. And they don't go, they don't disappear. They last forever. The stuff that we have in this earth is going to be gone. But the stuff that lasts forever is stuff you can't even put a price tag on. And Jesus saw that. He understood it. You know, everybody wants to be a millionaire. How many of you? No, you don't raise your hand. Everybody wants to be a millionaire. Or a billionaire. I don't know. Because every once in a while I have somebody say, yeah, when I win the lottery, I'm going to give, you know, so much money to the church or whatever. I hear it all the time. And it's probably true. But I think about it, why would anybody want to be a billionaire? Like, man, just think of how easy life would be if I just had all that money. Well, let me tell you, I read an article a few years ago about a journalist who ended up sitting in first class on the airplane next to a billionaire. For some reason, he was in first class, and she was a journalist, and she struck up a conversation with him, and she said, I'm really curious to know how much easier your life is than mine. He said, well, let me tell you. So he explained, I wake up, I have breakfast, I shower, I shave, I put my clothes on, and then I go into the office. She's like, you go into the office, you're free, you don't have to go to the office anymore. And he says, well, unfortunately, I've got all these investments, they take up my time, I have to go into the office. So I go in early, actually, and I spend all day, then I have lunch, and then in the afternoon, I go home, and I spend time, you know, with my wife or whatever, and then we go to bed. And she's like, well, your life's really not a whole lot different from my life. He's like, yeah. So they started comparing notes, and she wrote an article about it. And I guess the only thing that is different is that he travels better. You know, he has a nicer car or a nicer plane. You know, he's first class and all that. He eats out at nicer restaurants. He wears nicer food, or, you know, doesn't wear food. Wears nicer clothes, you know, eats nicer food, and takes better vacations, you know. And other than that, you know, there's really not a whole lot of difference between the two. It's an eye-opening article for her. Because, you know, no matter where you are and what station in life, you're still going to have to deal with stuff in your life. It doesn't go away, ever. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't be a billionaire. I think it'd be wonderful if you were a billionaire. But I'm just saying that sometimes we look for things that aren't all that important. And finally, it's this. You have value. You have value. You know, Charles Mayo, the guy who started Mayo Clinic, back in 1924, used to write to tease people that all the chemicals in the human body are worth 84 cents. Today it's $4.50, which is a good thing because then we don't have grave robbers, right? But according to the Mayo Clinic, today you're worth $4.50. Now there's another way you could look at you, and maybe it's the value of producing you. The Department of Agriculture says that to get a child from age 0 to 21 costs $304,480, so maybe that's your value. Or maybe the cost, your value is what you could produce in the world, like your average salary times, you know, maybe the number of years that you work. So the average salary apparently in the United States today is $51,000. Most people work 40 years. That's $2 million. So maybe you're worth $2 million. Maybe that's your value. But Jesus says, no, your value is so much more. So much more. If this manger wasn't just the manger that we pulled out of storage, what if this manger was the actual manger that Jesus was in? What if we cleaned it off and we saw Joseph's initials, right, in Hebrew, that this is the actual manger that Jesus was in? Do you think it'd have more value? Do you think it would be in here, or do you think it'd be in a steel case somewhere? Of course it would have more value because it is associated with the King of Kings. My friends, you are associated with the King of Kings. You are more unique than anything else in this world. Even robots have a serial number, but they're very much identical. You were created in the image of God, and He created each of you uniquely. You have more value than anything else in this world, and you have value because God loves you, and He created you special and unique, and He lives inside of you, and that makes you more valuable than any painting, any manger, anything in the world, because Jesus lives inside of you. You are a product of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And your value in the kingdom is far surpassing any other value that the world may place on you. Jesus gives you your value. In His name, amen.